Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Wilbur and his wife Leah faithfully attended church every Sunday morning. Wilbur was a farmer, and after a long day of getting up early and working hard all day, whenever he came into the house from the field and he sat down, he would often just fall right asleep. It was such a habit that when he came to church and sat in the pew, he would also fall asleep. The weekly routine of this caused some of the members of the church to take bets as to how long it would take before Wilbur nodded off on Sunday morning. Wilbur's wife tried everything to keep her sleepy spouse awake. She would especially get embarrassed when he began to snore. She complained to him that her arm and her elbow was getting sore from her poking him in the ribs and her futile attempts to keep him alert. One day, while shopping in the grocery store, Leah saw Limburger cheese. She bought it, put it in her purse. The next Sunday morning, the preacher started his sermon, and after he finished the first point in his three-point sermon, Wilbur began to nod. As the pastor started the third point, Wilbur began to snore. Quietly, Leah opened her purse, took out the Limburger cheese, held it under her husband's nose. It worked. It startled Wilbur. He sat up straight, and in a voice that could be heard all over the church said, "Leah, will you please keep your feet on your own side of the bed?" It can be dangerous and risky to fall asleep in church. The young man Eutychus in Acts 20 learned that the hard way, too. Acts 20, verses 7 and 8 read, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together." The setting of the account with Eutychus is during the latter part of Paul's third apostolic journey. Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem with a collection for the poor saints there. Arriving at Troas, Paul spent a week ministering in the city. Then, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, it seems clear that the church in Corinth was meeting on the first day of the week. And then here in Acts 20 in Troas, we again see believers gathering on Sunday, the first day of the week. Instead of gathering for worship on Saturday, on the Sabbath, in a synagogue, as had been done, the custom had now become for believers to assemble on Sundays. The last reference in Acts to the practice of Paul meeting each Sabbath day with the Jews in the synagogue is in Acts 19 in Ephesus. Now, as things continue to transition in Acts from the Jew to the Gentile, from law to grace, in Acts 20 we see Paul meeting with believers in the upper chamber of a house on a Sunday. The keeping of the Sabbath had been a very important part of the law of Moses and was the fourth of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath had its proper place under the law, but it is not to be observed by believers today. Because Paul wrote clearly in Romans 6:14 that believers in the body of Christ are no longer under the law, we are under grace. The Sabbath was a picture of the rest that God's people, believing Israel, will have in Christ. And like Sabbath was at the end of the week, it refers to the rest that Israel will have in the end, during Christ's earthly eternal kingdom. But that is not our hope. Our hope is in heaven. And now God has set Israel aside in unbelief and turned to the nations in His grace. And the Sabbath does not apply to the church under grace. Paul does not teach the body of Christ to observe the Sabbath, nor does he caution us against breaking it. Instead, Paul wrote that by his cross, Christ has blotted out, wiped out all these requirements, decrees, and ordinances that were once required under the Mosaic law, and he has set us free from the law. It's important to note, too, that the Sabbath has not been transferred or moved under grace from the seventh day to the first day. The Sabbath is not now Sunday for the church. Believers meet on the first day of the week in remembrance and worship of the one who rose again on the first day of the week. Paul states that on this Sunday in Troas, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul was departing the next day, and the believers' breaking of bread was a time of fellowship and a farewell meal for the apostle and his companions. The congregation at Troas had distinguished visitors present this night as they came together to break bread. From verses 4 to 6 of this chapter, we learn that with the apostle Paul, there was a friend from Berea named Sopater, and two from Thessalonica, Aristarchus and Secundus, another from Derbe named Gaius, and two others from the province where Troas was located in Asia Minor, Tychicus and Trophimus. Also there was the beloved Timothy, along with the beloved physician, Luke. Following the meal, Paul preached unto them. They were all fed physical bread, and then Paul gave them spiritual bread and nourishment from the Word of God. The purpose of preaching and teaching is wrapped up in Nehemiah 8:8, where it says that Ezra and the other scribes read in the book and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That is what preaching and teaching is to be all about, and that is what Paul did when he preached the word. When Paul began preaching at this Sunday evening service, he did so for a long time. Paul was about to leave on a long, difficult journey to Jerusalem, yet giving no thought to his own need for rest, and out of his love for the believers in Troas, he taught them the word, and he kept going and going. But it was because Paul was leaving them the next day, possibly never to return to them, that the apostle prolonged his discourse until midnight. Because he may not see them again, there was much to say. There was much encouragement, exhortation, instruction, and warning to be given. The Greek word for preached in verse 7 is not the word used for preaching, which speaks of heralding the truth of the word. Instead, it's a word from which we get our term dialogue. Thus, we learn that Paul's discourse was a mingling of preaching and discussion and answering their questions. In verse 8, Luke provides the eyewitness detail of how there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. The Feast of Passover takes place in relation to a full moon. Thus, from the timing given to us in verse 6 about the 7 days of unleavened bread after Passover, and the 5 days and 7 days mentioned after that feast, we learn that the Passover took place about 3 weeks previous to this meeting in Troas. Therefore, it was very dark at night at this time, and there were many lights or lamps in this house as Paul preached and discussed the scriptures. These lamps were likely filled with oil and had wicks that flickered and smoked, and many of these flamed in that crowded upper chamber. The many lights speak to the boldness of this meeting. This gathering of believers was not held in secret. This home was lit up with many lights, and it shone brightly in Troas, and those in the city knew some important event was going on in this house as this group met. And they were a passionate group that would stay up till midnight listening to the Word of God and discussing it. But when you put many people together in a building with many lamps burning, heating the room, we find that the house, that upper chamber, would have been warm, stuffy, and smoky. And that's important to remember as we consider the reasons Eutychus fell asleep.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
Exploring the Unsearchable Riches of Christ is a 190-page hardcover book written by Pastor Paul M. Sadler. The purpose of this book is to establish the reader in God's message for the church, the body of Christ, during this present age of grace. This volume explores the unsearchable riches of Christ, which were originally dispensed to the Apostle Paul, and considers the proper interpretation of God's Word in light of the dispensations of God. To order your copy, contact Berean Bible Society for pricing and availability at 262-255-4750 or visit our website at BereanBibleSociety.org.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts.
Acts 20, verses 9 and 10 read, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, 'Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him.'" Because that upper chamber was warm and stuffy, a young man present that night named Eutychus found his way to a window to stay cool. And with the house being smoky, he sat on the windowsill to breathe the fresh, cool night air. And so he had a window seat, you could say, for the meeting. As Eutychus listened to the Apostle Paul and his long preaching, he fell into a deep sleep. The tense of the Greek words portray Eutychus as being gradually overcome by sleep in spite of his best efforts to stay awake. And so it's easy to picture Eutychus getting drowsy, beginning to nod, shaking himself awake, trying not to sleep, nodding again, waking momentarily, but then unable to fend sleep off any longer. It got the best of him, eventually and gradually sinking into a deep sleep. But when you think about it, Eutychus had a full stomach. He was in a warm room with a cool breeze in his face, and the hour was late. It was midnight. And that is a triple whammy and a tough combination for anyone to stay awake. It only takes one of these for me to go to sleep. And so, like Cain, who went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, Eutychus entered the land of Nod. And then he dropped out of Paul's class. Falling into that deep, sound sleep on that open windowsill, Eutychus slumped and then fell down from the third loft. Eutychus plummeted out of the window to the ground below outside the house. It was a fall of 3 stories. The shocking event and the sound of Eutychus's body hitting the ground suddenly stopped the meeting, and the stunned believers rushed down the stairs and gathered around Eutychus's body. Dr. Luke, the inspired medical doctor who wrote the account here and saw the event, pronounced him dead on the spot. We see that by how Luke declared him alive in verse 12 after Paul raised him from the dead. When Luke wrote that his body was taken up or picked up dead, this means when they picked up his body to carry him inside to help him or treat him, his body was a corpse. He was dead. The fall from the 3rd-story window had been fatal for the young man. But then Paul went down from the upper chamber and fell on him, falling on Eutychus's dead body. Paul was full of tenderness toward the young man. We see that by how he embraced his lifeless body. Paul stretched himself over the body of the young man, as Elijah and Elisha, the prophets of old, did when they also raised the dead. And Paul stated to the group gathered round, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." Paul calmed the troubled crowd, telling them, "Don't be alarmed." And then he said that his life is in him. When Paul fell on him and embraced him, God's power, which is much stronger than death, restored Eutychus's life through the Apostle Paul. And Eutychus was at that moment alive again, raised from the dead, fully healed from his fall. And thus the crowd did not need to be troubled any longer. This miracle by Paul is one of very few resurrections recorded in all the Bible. The others were performed by Elijah, Elisha, Peter, and of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke recorded this account in order to show us the great life-giving power of God and to further authenticate Paul's apostleship, authority, and message. As Paul wrote the Corinthians, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." The name Eutychus, ironically, means fortunate. And it was fortunate for him that Paul was the preacher that night, that he fell out of a 3-story high window in the presence of a man of God who, through the power and goodness of God, had the ability as a true apostle to bring him back to life. Acts 20, verses 11 and 12 read, "When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Verse 11 is humorous to me. It speaks of how intent Paul was on teaching this group of believers. Little emphasis is put on this outstanding miracle. Right after raising Eutychus from the dead, Paul quickly went back upstairs to get something to eat. He ate something because he needed strength to keep on teaching the word. It was almost as though Paul looked at his watch and said to this group, "Oh man, we lost 20 minutes of teaching time. Let's go upstairs and get something to eat quick because I have more things that I need to teach you about Christ before I leave." Paul and Luke give this miracle second place to the status of preaching the word. When the miraculous sign gifts of the Acts period were still being manifested, miracles did not sustain people's faith. But the truth of the word of God does sustain faith. And thus the preaching of the word was Paul's foremost priority. And a miracle, even one as remarkable as raising the dead, was secondary to the word of God. Therefore, Luke and Paul deal with the miracle very briefly, but they deal emphatically and at length with the teaching of the word by comparison. And this is seen by how, after the young man was raised from the dead, Paul quickly scurried back upstairs so he could teach some more. And Paul ended up teaching the rest of the night. Luke states that while Paul talked a long while, even till break of day, we can imagine then, at that point, that Paul had their undivided attention, and no one got sleepy after this miracle either. After an all-night meeting, never to be forgotten, at the break of day, the apostle bade farewell to the believers in Troas and departed to continue his journey to Jerusalem. And verse 12 tells us that Eutychus, the fortunate young man, departed as well, and he was brought home alive. The power of God had restored him to complete health, and the group of believers and Eutychus' friends and family were not a little comforted. They were all greatly comforted that he returned home that morning and that they did not need to be planning a funeral. There is much symbolism for the church to be found in this account. For example, we learn from Eutychus that a window is not a good place to be when hearing the preaching of the word. Sitting in that window led to Eutychus slumbering and sleeping. And that window can portray a window of divided attention, a window of compromise, or a window of exploring and looking to the world. And all these things can lead to a believer becoming spiritually drowsy and slumbering and sleeping spiritually. Eutychus is a good example of Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." The believer can be lulled to sleep by the world and have a slumbering, dead Christian experience. But God would have us wake up and yield our lives to Christ, being awake and sensitive to spiritual realities and to the importance of living for the eternal. We see these practical things in this passage, but there is even a further symbolic significance to this episode. Note the following important facts about this account. First, Paul was the preacher. Second, Paul preached for a long time. Third, Eutychus fell asleep under his preaching. Fourth, the sleeper fell from the third story window to the ground below and died. Fifth, Paul restored him to life by the power of God. And sixth, the people were comforted. Now stop and think about Paul and his epistles and how those letters preached the truth to us, the church. Then think about how long Paul and his epistles have been preaching truth to the church. Paul has been preaching a long time, even longer than Moses. Moses and the truths of the law preached to Israel for about 1,500 years, whereas Paul and the truths of grace have been preaching to the church for nearly 2,000 years in the dispensation of grace. Like in this account, Paul has been long preaching during the darkness of this evil age, and Paul is still preaching as this dispensation continues to this moment. But when Paul preaches, there are many lights. One thing you often hear from those who have come to see the message of Paul for us today is how it explains so many difficult passages of Scripture, how it opens up their understanding of Scripture, how it solves so many problems, and it's often described that the light goes on when one sees it. And there are many lights to be found when you study the epistles of Paul. And Paul even prayed for the church in this regard in Ephesians 1, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know." Sitting under the preaching of Paul and living it out, the church, which is in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, results in us shining as lights in the world. Each of us in the body of Christ, each of us Gentiles under grace, saved by grace, are like a Gentile named Eutychus. We are fortunate. We are blessed by God that God chose to have a program with the nations by which we have been saved and lifted up and blessed in Christ. And like all those believers, we're in an upper chamber in a third loft. So the church, the body of Christ, is seated in Christ in heavenly places in the third heaven. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, such an one caught up to the third heaven." The body of Christ has a heavenly calling and position in the third heaven, blessed with all spiritual blessings there. But the church, being under Paul's preaching, like Eutychus, has gradually become drowsy and fell asleep into a deep sleep, and it stopped listening to Paul. And gradually, not all at once, but one after another, the church lost hold of the distinctive message and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Then the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. Then the difference between Israel and the church, the body of Christ. And then even justification by grace through faith alone. And the church fell from its enjoyment and understanding of all we have in Christ in heavenly places under grace through the preaching of Paul And as a result, the life of the church was gone. And the church became a morgue for a long time in the Dark Ages. But when the Reformation came, it was Pauline truth that began getting recovered. Grace alone, the just shall live by faith, one body, the blessed hope of the rapture, were truths first revealed through Paul that were recovered, and then the distinctive ministry and message of Paul was recovered. What you find is that it is Paul, the message of Paul, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's what gives life to the church today. It is when Paul and his message embraces the church that the church finds its life and power in Christ. The church is restored to life and revived by the power of God through the message and ministry of Paul. Like it was God who gave life to Eutychus through Paul, it is Christ that gives life to his church through Paul, through the preaching and through the truth found in his epistles. And the result can be as verse 12 states, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. When the church turns to the truth that Christ revealed to Paul for this dispensation, like Eutychus, the church will be alive. And it will result in not a little comfort, because there is great comfort to be found in that message. The comfort of salvation by grace through faith alone as a free gift. Of our all spiritual blessings and seated position in Christ in the third heavens, and the hope of Christ's return for the church to catch us away to glory, to forever be with the Lord before the tribulation ever begins. As Paul wrote of that blessed hope, wherefore comfort one another with these words.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.